One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
If you have not been...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was like, I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the spirit of a brave fireman still wanders the streets of New York years after the biggest tragedy of the new millennium. A childhood nightmare comes to live outside of dreams, and the disembodied voice of a little girl plagues children playing in their rooms late at night. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Or get involved in our group, our Facebook group, where everybody talks about the episodes and their thoughts on them. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online group on Facebook and get interactive there. Joining us today, it's Sean Reed and my mom. So it's double the fun.
It is.
It is.
Hey, Sean.
Hello. How fun is this to see your son at his craft?
Oh, I know, and I get to talk to you too.
This is the big show here. I believe the last time we chatted was in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, circa 2008.
Probably around there.
Even before. Yeah, it was at a karaoke event we did.
Yes.
The Star Bar.
I do remember some of the evenings, Star Bar.
Oh, yes.
I believe you did a little Engelbert Humperdinck, if I remember correctly.
Well, I sing you to sleep.
Yep. After the lovin'.
After the lovin'. Mm-hmm. And I brought, it's like yesterday. It really is.
Yeah.
It was a night to remember. And I'm making that as a reference to the Titanic. And also, it was a fun night. So
they tore down the bar after that, Sean.
Literally.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. It was, and it's funny. Speaking of things being torn down, I'm kind of depressed because right before we got on the air, I was reading on Facebook another. There's just so much of my hometown that's kind of just fallen apart or been destroyed. But the mall now is now at least something's going there.
Yeah, it's a positive.
They're putting a big thing in, but it's just one of those places that I remember. I have a lot of fond memories of that's being torn down. But I will say this about my hometown mall going away. At least it's going from a semi still open state to something else, and it's not going to sit there and rot for the next 30 years.
I know.
Like so many malls have.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Malls were, I don't know. I'm, there's something about them. I've talked about this on the show before. There's a site out there called
Abandoned Malls.
Abandoned Malls, I believe, .com or something like that. And it's just all these pictures of all these abandoned malls all over the country. And I don't know. There's something about it that's so fascinating to me. I've been always so drawn to the mall. I love being pushed in my stroller around the mall as a kid. And I don't know. It's just weird to think that thing's going to be gone. But I mean, it's been a long time coming. So many of them are falling apart. But
can you visit any of these abandoned malls? I mean, can you go on tours? I can't even
illegally
imagine going through a mall. Nobody is there. There are no lines. I mean, there's no stores, but there are no lines.
You know, I know some have like stayed open for like the mall walkers, you know, so they can get exercise and stuff. But a lot of them, I think, are locked up and shut down. And I mean, a lot of them, there's several in Milwaukee that are like that, aren't there?
And some of them are somewhat as though they are abandoned, but I believe they are still open for business.
Yeah, it's like come on in and go to the Buddy Squirrel and have a wait, they're closed too.
Yeah,
there's a Funko Land and a Buddy Squirrel. Nope, that closed, and some type of video rental store. We're just going to give you the space. Just stay open.
There was a great show on Vice or Vice Land, the television network. It's Vice, but one of the two. It was called Abandoned, and one of the episodes was all about abandoned malls. And it was the photography was excellent on it, and it was just a really interesting look at all of these abandoned shopping centers that were just the booming, amazing places of the 80s and 90s, and just what they're like today. And it's you're waiting for zombies to come around the corner. But that's
the mall walkers.
That's the mall walkers coming back from the dead. Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. Comes into us from Anna, and she says, my story is about a lonely fireman that I call the lost soul. I lived on Bower Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. The year is 2007, and I and my family have lived in North Jersey most of our lives. It's home to us. The all-Italian family, yep, that's us. One day, my dad and I just got done cleaning up the pizza restaurant, and we're closing early that day to go home and watch the Yankees play the Mets. The Mets won. The score was 2-0. I'll never forget. It was June 15th. I headed up to bed after the game and took a shower and knocked out around 1 o'clock. And I woke up about 3 hours later to get a drink of soda at my bed that I placed before I slept. I light up a cigarette, look out my window, and as I gaze, I see a person across the street in a dark alley just sitting watching my house. So I duck down, shut my light off, and peek again. When I look, I can tell that this person was even closer to my home than before. I can see this person is walking with a limp, sort of like a zombie. You can say I was terrified. This did not look kosher to me. I told my dad what I saw the next morning, and he didn't understand. He said the area is getting very rough and we'll need to move soon. I told dad that's not the problem for right now. We just need to be careful. So that night again, I see this man, or think about it, 2 a.m. It's getting closer to my front door. So I rush downstairs and I open the door to yell at this person. What the hell are you stalking my house for? When I opened the door, I was shocked. My jaw dropped because I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It was a man, a fireman wearing his uniform all covered in dust and bloody and his face entirely cut up. I couldn't even tell that it was a man at first until I heard his voice. He reached out his hand and said, "You need to leave now. There's been a fire." And I can tell that this was not a game or a sick joke. This was a ghost. I knew right then and there that this was not right. This was something that I wasn't supposed to see at 2 a.m. I shut the door on his face and ran backwards. And then my lights died out. My TV went on in the living room by itself. Then I heard a loud knocking at every window in my house. I start crying and screaming as loud as I can until someone heard me and would come to rescue me. I wet my pants, literally. This person or thing, whatever it was, busted open my door and walked in and grabbed my hand and said, "Please look into my eyes. Please, it's the only way," he said. I said in a screaming voice, "No, please leave me alone. I'm scared. Please leave me alone." His eyes were like black holes in his head, like emptiness. Then I closed my eyes and I woke up. I was in my room and I realized it was a nightmare. I talked to a priest who lived next door to me the next day, and I explained to him what I'd seen in my nightmare. And he said, "Oh, Anna, there's actually a man, or should I say a spirit, who runs around here sometimes at night claiming there's been a fire and that we should all evacuate as soon as possible." When I heard the priest say that, I just froze and said, "What do you mean?" The priest said, "Oh, yes. What you witnessed in your dream wasn't fake. Indeed, it's the spirit of a fireman who died in the 9/11 tragedies. His mother lived across the street. I've seen him many times over the past years. At first, I was very frightened. But now, I'm used to it, and I just leave him a bottle of water at your doorstep before you sleep. If you do that, he'll surely take it and drink it, and he still longs to find his family. He's a lost soul. He lives the day he died over and over again." So there's a happy story, everyone.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it is one of those stories where, I mean, it's such a subject that all of us have lived through as adults. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, God. We every once in a while get a story on this show relating to 9/11. It's not very frequent, but not surprising either. Just with the sheer loss of life and how quickly that happened. And it seems with situations like that, that you end up having a lot of people that are wandering and seemingly very confused as to what's going on, almost seemingly reliving the same day over and over. What a day to live over and over. But there's that sense of confusion. When it's such a sudden thing, I don't know why it is. I don't know what it is. But what's most troubling about it is it's not just like a residual thing where it's you're just watching this play out. Oftentimes with some of these, it's interacting with present day people. And that, I think, is the most disturbing about it. It's one thing if it's like, oh, you're just kind of watching something going through the motion and maybe it's not conscious. But when it's interacting with current things and if it's reliving that thing over and over, it's conscious. You know, it's almost like, yes, Groundhog's Day. On the worst day, you could have Groundhog's Day.
What I find interesting is, of all the stories and all the letters, there is a vague resemblance or a vague comparison, whether it's a small child or an old man, or we, a couple episodes ago, there was the haunted dresser and the person tried to get rid of it, is you kind of have your own unique thought of what it looks like. When you talk about something that all of us experienced in recent memory, you want to talk about how bone chilling you reading that letter, me listening to it, and then to find out that it is something that has happened here in recent memory, that really strikes a chord of everybody has their vision and what they thought they saw, and you respect that. But that, I immediately remember, and we were in the same city living back in Wisconsin when that happened.
Yeah, we were.
And wow. Yeah. That is something interesting that, again, you say so many people lost their life that I would imagine many people have gone through this and will here in the future.
Yeah. What's interesting to me about this, when we get letters like this in, is you can tell almost the age of the individual writing it in, of if they remember the day, if they can even comprehend, because there's a good chunk of adults now that it's like that's part of the history books,
right?
And I part of me is like, well, I guess that's kind of a good thing that that's not like there wasn't like that day in their life that, oh, my God, the world has changed. But part of me is like, well, that also does, you know, they're also adults in a society where they have no perspective on how dramatically it changed as well. So I don't even know how I feel about that. But you can tell where the way it's referred to as almost like it's a reference point to something they learned about, which it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It just seems so weird to me. Although, I mean, we were out there. It was our first summer of being adults. You know, really,
right.
Where yeah. Our world completely changed. I mean, we're out of, you know, just being on our own, and all of a sudden, boom, guess what? You know, and then suddenly the world is different. But that's something that strikes me when I see those letters. Thanks for writing in and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories. Next letter says, first off, love the show. It's the best thing for me to listen to as I walk to the bus stop after work. Keep up the awesome work. You have a fan from Sweden here. To the story then, this was my first experience with the paranormal, and it changed my life forever as I was still about 10 years old when this happened. It was late October and getting closer to Halloween. I was being babysat for the whole day and night by my cousin, and she didn't have anything else to do that day. It was mostly a relaxing day as we ordered food from the nearby pizzeria and watched a movie together. So you could say any 10-year-old would be very pleased after that. I asked her if I could go downstairs to the basement and play the gaming console she had there, which she let me since I gave her a chance to call some friends. I played for hours and forgot about the time as it was past midnight, so I thought it was best to shut down and go upstairs because my cousin seemed to already be asleep. As I turned off all the lights and stepped into the hallway towards the staircase, something felt very wrong. As a child's nightmare came to life, I saw a shadow figure of a man standing at the end of the hallway, just looking at me. It seemed to raise its arm and point at me before it slowly walked towards me. I was frozen in place, paralyzed, might be a better way to put it. The whole room was as cold as a classic Swedish winter night, and I couldn't feel anything but pure fear. When it was almost close up to my face, I finally snapped out of it and ran upstairs to hide next to my cousin in her bed while crying hysterically. After that, it became more of a mini trauma in a way, so if I told anyone about it, I just said I saw a tiny gnome in the basement that looked like me, which was rather strange, but I guess it sort of helped me deal with it a little. Several years after that, I'm a lot more interested in the paranormal, and even done some ghost hunting myself with some EVPs and such, but I could write that down in another story sometimes. Thanks for listening. I hope this didn't end up being too long. Sean, thoughts?
Hello, Sweden.
So it's a gnome-like thing, almost. I mean, we've gotten those before. I don't know what they are. I don't know why it is. And I don't know if it's just like something that this is how it's appearing and this is what you get. I don't necessarily believe it's like a gnome running around or a troll or whatever you want to call it.
That's crazy.
I would think, you know, in the basement, it is you get scared and then your mind runs rapid. And you think you saw something, but then you overthink it and overthink it and overthink it. Mm-hmm. I'm not downplaying and I'm not belittling or thinking sure. that this is not what they thought it was. But I just think once you get to a situation where you're so scared, for me, I mean, the basement's a scary place.
Sure.
So you go downstairs, the furnace, it kicks on and you run quick to reset the dryer and run back up. So I think there was something, but then it maybe the brain exaggerated it a bit.
Yeah, you know, that can happen. Again, I'm not going to say that this didn't happen or did happen, but that does happen. I remember when I was a kid, I can vividly still picture this in my mind. And I know it was just my mind messing with me, and it really wasn't a paranormal experience. But I loved the movie or the music video Thriller. And I would beg to rent, because you could rent it at the mm-hmm. video store, and I would beg you to yeah. rent it. He said, no. And eventually I got to rent it from, I believe it was Lauer's Supermarket. And,
probably.
And I got it. And I just sat there on VHS, you know, and watched it over and over and over and over one day. And this is awesome. And then I remember going to bed one night. We were coming in from off of the porch the upper porch, and I was had to walk through the dining room and the kitchen and then go right up the stairs, and there's my bedroom. But I swore to God, I walked into the house, and in front of every doorway stood one of the zombies from Thriller. And it was just, it was vivid. I mean, I can still picture it in my mind of what I was seeing. And I just was screaming and freaking out, and you were dead like, what?
You shouldn't have let me rent it, Mom.
Brush your teeth.
Go to bed.
Go to bed. Brush your teeth. And I'm like, and in my, and I'm seeing Michael Jackson standing in front of my toothbrush. And
wow.
And I'm just like, like, this is, and I remember you being so upset at me, like, why I wasn't going in. Like, I think you thought I was just like stalling or something, but I was like vivid. Like, I swear to God, I was seeing this. And
it, told you.
But that's an example, especially when you're a kid, of what the mind can do. I mean, it can do it. It happened as an adult, too. I think it's the closest I've ever come to, like, hallucinating.
And I have a question on this story. Did she, first of all, I thought the person saw a shadow person, but I thought it was taller. Or is that just in my mind that it's a shadow person and they're tall?
I don't know.
But then she said, or he's not sure what it was, said something about that it looked like a gnome.
Yeah.
At that point. So
yeah,
okay.
Hard to make out exactly what it was, but I mean, it could have been one of those situations where you're a kid, you kind of have this experience, and it ends up being much more than it actually was.
Okay, I'm picturing gnomes like the garden gnomes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and that the funny thing is, we get stories like that frequently of like people seeing like these little things running around. Mm. Some call them gnomes, some call them other things. There's a thousand variations on it. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It certainly falls into the realm of paranormal. I don't know if it's ghostly, but it's odd. Have you ever had a garden gnome come to life, Sean?
No, I just, speaking of all these gnomes, I now want to go book a hotel or a flight or get a rental car.
It's funny
That's
how that
some
works.
Good marketing, right?
It's
there.
Funny
when
how
you
that
think
works.
Of gnomes, oh, yeah. You want to get a last minute deal.
You just suddenly, you're like, gnome, yes, must find good deal.
Bill That's, Shatner. Yeah. I don't. I really didn't think of anything. I want to know more so how many times you had watched Thriller on repeat to then literally think that they were everywhere.
It was probably like 9 or 10, and I probably watched it, I'd probably say at least 15 times that day. It's only like a 10 minute music video, so I mean, you can get it quite a few in
till they embed in your memory.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
and I think in the situation of seeing things or little ones, I for me, when I am exhausted and to a point where you almost feel intoxicated, you're so tired that out of the peripheral of my vision, I think it's just my eyes spasming, so there's no freak out moments, but there have been, you think you see something and then you just realize I'm exhausted, I gotta go to bed, and don't really look anything more into it.
And that's probably the best thing we can do half the time, you know, as adults. It's just like, okay, I'm shutting my eyes, I'm going to bed. It's also some of the times where I start hearing things too, which I know are not there. and that's where I'll like hear like a slam or something, and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm watching a show and the sleep timer turns off, I still hear the show going in the room, and it's going down a storyline path that I know doesn't exist because I've seen the show 50 times, but it's just with the way your mind runs it when you're in those sort of states.
Or when you're falling asleep and you know that your dad's goes to bed on the bed next to you until you fall asleep. And then once you do fall asleep, he goes downstairs into his bedroom. So then you can never fall asleep because you're just counting down until he leaves and goes downstairs. And then you hear random noises. But then you're too scared to go downstairs to wake them up. Oh, it's a lovely childhood.
This sounds like a personal experience.
I mean, hypothetically.
It's a friend. It's the story of a friend. Yeah.
Right. Oh. Right.
It's a friend zone. Yeah.
Dad still doesn't do that, does he?
Now, you were wondering, this is when I was 9 or Thursday, but irrelevant.
Not part of the story, and we don't judge. This is a judgment-free.
This is a no-judgment-free podcast. Thank you very much.
Okay, nobody told me.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, hi, just found your podcast on Google Play. Like to say I enjoy the podcast. It's interesting to hear other people's stories. My story starts with my incident with my childhood home in Bethany, Missouri. To give you an image of how the floor plan of the house is, this was a two-story house with my old bedroom, my older sisters, and my older brother on the second floor. My parents' bedroom was downstairs right next to the bathroom, and next to that was the kitchen. It was about maybe 8 or 9 at night, and I was in the bathroom getting ready for bed. Once I got done, I was about to walk out of the bathroom when a short black apparition dashed from my parents' room to the kitchen. At that time, my younger sister was about 4 or 5, so I immediately thought it was her. After that happened, I peeked out the bathroom towards the kitchen, and there wasn't anything there. Another incident in that house was several years before my younger sister was born. My older sister had several interactions with something. One was when she got woken up to something holding her blankets down, pinning her down and giggling. Another night, she heard a little girl's voice in her ear. She looked at her bedroom doorway and saw a little girl in a dress standing there. One incident that involved my brother, my older sister, and I remember reading a book in my room. My sister was in her room, and my brother was in his room. Now, the floor in his room had a thick blue shag carpet, so it was hard to shut his door. While playing with his guitar in his bed, my brother's door slammed shut. I remember looking at his door from my room and thought that he shut it, so I went back to my book. My brother ended up coming into my room and asked me if I shut his door. I told him no, and that's when he went to my sister's room, which, to let you know, was down the hall past the stairs, round past the stairs, and next to the upstairs closet. He asked her, and she told him no as well. We ended up going downstairs and told Mom and Dad, who were downstairs at the time. To this day, I still have chills when I think about the house in a paranormal sense. That's my story. I look forward to your comments on it. Sean, thoughts?
They got me at pinning her down and giggling. What?
It sounds like, you know, I could almost go either way with it. It could be something dark, but it almost, to me, it almost feels like it's something, you know, human or was human and is just out there to screw with somebody.
I think so. And I think if you're talking about a friend or a sibling or a cousin, I mean, if you're both on the living side, it's a little bit more, oh, just playing around opposed to what in the crap is happening here.
Yeah. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it almost sounds like a playful ghost.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Somebody young.
I would go there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, disturbing no matter what when there's an unknown force holding you down and giggling. But
hey, it's the way they played.
I don't know that I'd be that dismissive at the exact moment it's happening. But I think it would be a little more disturbing. But it would still, you take a moment to step back and you put it into perspective and you're like, oh, okay, that's what that was. It's weird and screwed up and I don't want it to happen again. But okay. Probably not the devil living in my my backyard. Thanks for calling in and sharing that that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
How do you do? My name is Tony Palermo. That's a fictitious name, but I want to use that one. From Nevada, real estate. Tell you true account that I think is pretty interesting, should be interesting for a podcast. If I have time here, it's first time calling, so I don't know exactly what to expect. This happened back in grade school, I think about the fourth grade, I think it was. And that's a long time ago. I'm in my 40s now, late 40s. And this was an occurrence where my friend and I, my best friend at the time, we're on recess break. We're just kids, remember? So we talked a lot about the Bloody Mary legend. That was very popular in my school. Only we were kind of like dorks. We said it 10 times instead of shortening it up to about 3 to 5 times like a lot of people do in the mirror with a candle or whatever. So we challenged each other. We were kind of bored at lunch break, recess. I think it was lunch break, yeah. And so it was like early afternoon, and we go into the boys' bathroom to do the ritual. The Bloody Mary ritual. We did it 10 times. No candle, of course. They didn't give us candles there to run around with. which makes sense. So anyway, it was just the two of us in the boys' bathroom. We turn out the lights. We go inside, turn out the lights, and we look in the mirror and do the Bloody Mary ritual 10 times. And Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody, you know, 10 times, and nothing happened at first. But as we were still bored after that because nothing happened, so we decided to sit on the floor, the tile floor, and against the wall and just talk, you know, like boys do, and just discuss, well, that's a crock, you know, we're saying. And then we talked about other stuff and, you know, other interests in life. And while we were doing that, just the two of us now in the dark in this bathroom or restroom. No, there's no bath in there. Restroom. An odd occurrence happened that we both heard. We didn't see anything, but we heard something that sounded like, very much like, well, at least this is what entered my mind. Somebody who had their having their neck slashed and gurgling on their own blood to death. Pretty grim there. But I kept, and he and I both had kind of had that vision, as I recall, when we heard that gurgling sound. I think we're still talking about the legend when this happened. I don't think we drifted off, as I said earlier, probably still on the subject. But, yeah, we heard this gurgling sound. It sounded like a boy, probably someone about our age, gurgling. What we thought in our own minds, anyway, hearing that sound, and or gargling or gurgling, whatever you want to call it. But and you're probably thinking, well, somebody's probably gargling out in the hallway, but there was nobody there. There was no water in the hallway either, only outside. No water to where, you know, kids can goof around and, you know, make gargling sounds with the fountain available. Those are all outside. We're inside, and just the two of us, and we could hear it as if it was in the bathroom, but at a little distance inside restroom, a little distance from us in the restroom. So we were kind of spooked. We were creeped out. We're like saying, God, what was that? It sounded like somebody getting their neck slashed or something, or, you know, cut. And so we got up and we headed toward the door to get out because we were scared. We're just little boys, remember? So we're heading out and I don't know if we made it to the light before this happened or not. I can't remember. But then this other boy walked in and scared the crap out of us. We all screamed and, I think my friend did a little jokester thing and he said, I want to suck your blood. Like Dracula, you know, I want to suck your blood. I just said it out of a reaction, I guess, scared reaction when this other boy walked in. And he's going, what's going on, you guys? You guys, you know, fooling around. You guys are kind of weird. And I said, well, we just did the Bloody Mary ritual and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I don't know if that's exciting enough, but I thought that was pretty eerie or creepy, hearing that sound, that gurgling sound that made us chillingly think of somebody getting their neck slashed in that one particular day, school day. So anyway, I thought I'd share that. I might call again to share some more what I know. I have to repeat this, know our supernatural or supernormal encounters regarding audio. I've never seen a ghost, and this is no exception here on the story I just told you, this account. But I've also had other audio encounters that, again, I know this one could have a slight possibility of explanation, the one I just told you. But these coming up that I may share with you real soon, do not. They have to be nothing but supernormal. And I'll share those with you when I get the time. But hopefully this will be enough for our podcast. And if
there you go. That's a new interesting extra added effect when you mess with games like that as a kid.
Why tease? Why did he tease us? Well, I have a lot more stories that I know, but I'm not going to tell you right now.
Because it's for another episode. I'm looking forward to that. But I think we've talked about this before. I don't remember ever playing any games like that. Did you ever play the Bloody Mary game or the other ones?
Actually, sure I didn't. Did. I did.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Goodness. How does it work? What do you do? And why didn't you teach me that after Candyland? I mean, what the hell?
Because it was kind of dumb. Anyhow, it was a bunch of neighborhood girls on a sleepover, and we sat in front of the mirror with a flashlight, and you had to say, Bloody Mary.
Let's do it right now. Let's play it. Let's,
I believe in you. Please come to me. And you say it over and over and over. And then you think, because you're holding, and you're sitting in the dark with this flashlight, and you know, half the time you're looking at something in the mirror, but your eyes are adjusting to the lighting, you know? So nothing happened with us.
Okay.
But you know, others in the group said, oh yeah, there's a face behind us, or, you know, thinking they did see something. Yes. How about you, Sean?
No, I have two older sisters, and we luckily we never partook in the let's scare each other game. Collectively, I don't know if it is a gene from my parents, my grandparents, what have you, but we are collectively all scared of scary movies, Halloween. It's just my grandpa, he had this werewolf mask, and he would do one of two things. My grandma and aunts and uncles like to play Rummy, I believe it's called Royal Rummy, the card game, what have you. My grandpa could have cared less. I clearly could have cared less. I'm like 5, 6, 7. So he would either put the werewolf mask on to scare the living Jesus out of us, or he would just pop his dentures out on purpose and make us laugh. And let me tell you, we were a big fan of laughter more so than being scared. So I have zero examples of firsthand experience of playing those type of games. What I will say is my thought is one of two things. How old that school is, way back when that there was a student that something happened there. And if he was coming back in a very ironic timing where they happen to be playing that game and he happens to come back, or two, that some of their classmates were in earshot of when they said that they were going to do this. So they went like to the locker room or somehow within the piping of older schools and sounds can travel and just tried to scare them.
That could be a possibility too.
That was my thought.
Yeah, if we're looking at logical, you know, possibilities. But what hell, that'd be one hell of an experience. You know, I'd be telling it to this day, just freaked out. What other games did you play?
Duck, Goose.
Well, I'm asking my mom. I'm asking my mom.
Me?
What other? I know you play the Ouija board.
My parents gave it to us for Christmas one year.
There you go.
And my sister that's next in line, she was like 16, and so that put me at 10. And yes, we did play the Ouija board, and it told us two things that actually happened, and we never played it again.
What were they?
She always had to know what her gifts were going to be, so she asked it what the gift that she was going to get from her boyfriend, and it was correct. Yeah, and then I remember we just put it away.
A Suzanne Summers Thighmaster is what it's spelled out.
Honey, so, this was I'm kidding. 67.
I'm just thinking that would be a lot to smell out for the Ouija board. Suzanne Summers Thighmaster. Holy shit! You spelled out ring, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, but that's, you could almost argue
that she knew something already and she did it.
What about the other? All I knew was that one. What was the other thing?
Can't remember. Oh, I know my mom played it too. When she was a teenager, and she couldn't find a garment that one of her raincoats, and it said that her neighbor had it in another upstairs apartment. And sure enough,
maybe to her, like, use it for a practical reason, not like let's talk to the dead. Where's my damn coat? And then
it was the Depression. She only had one coat.
Ask the Ouija where the coat is. I'm just not surprised by this at all. Wow. Well, there you go. That's good. All right. Well, I think it's going to wrap up our program for the day. Thank you guys for calling in. Thank you for writing in. Thank you guys for being here, Sean and my mom. It's been fun having you in the studio here today for the adventure of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you.
If you like the program, keep us on the air. Go to ghostpodcast.com. Become an EPP. Support us. Keep us going. $5 a month is all it is to be an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all 200-some bonus episodes up there, so check that out. Until next time, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at KOSI.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.